B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Szolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Slavin dusts it off. Wrister deflected. Rask the save. Rebound. Rask, what a stop. And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter. Far circle. It's fired. And Rask a glove save as Williams got robbed. Turnover. Left circle. Niederreiter out in front. Backhand. And Rask the stop. Three on two the other way for Carolina. Hamilton centers. Fired. Rask slid across. What a stop. The two-pat stack. He gets him at the far post. 40's on fire, sent out in front, and Stahl's deflection denied by Rask as he squeezed the right arm to the midsection. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final.
Tuukka Rask on the best run of his career right now for the Boston Bruins. 3-0 series lead for the Bees over the Hurricanes after a win last night, 2-1. In Raleigh, 617-779-0985, the telephone number here on Szolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's go back to your calls here in the fourth and final hour of the show. Barry in Weston has a thought on Tuukka. What's up, Barry?
Hey, hi, Mark. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Barry.
How you doing? Hi, Hard.
Hi, Hard.
Hello.
Hi. Normally, I'm mostly a basketball fan, but I've Celtics are gone. Okay. Well, I'm basketball. But I have Bruins fever. And what I noticed what we do in basketball is when we do the load management, and now that we pretty much have it wrapped up, I would sit Rask and pull in Halleck and let Halleck play a couple of games and see how that goes. What's your take?
Hardy's got a strong opinion on this, so I'm going to let Hardy take this one.
I do?
Yeah, I heard you mention this earlier.
Well, we all kind of mentioned it earlier. I think that's a bad idea.
Is Maz here yet?
I think that a 3-0 series lead is nothing to be toyed with. I don't think the Hurricanes should be taken lightly, even though they haven't looked great. And I believe that Tuukka Rask, as long as he's feeling good, he's feeling it in net. You go ahead and you let him go in there and close out the series in game four and give everybody a nice long rest while San Jose and St. Louis finish up the West.
Barry, here would be a really strong reason against doing that, and that is if you put Halak in, he's a good goalie, has been all year. I have no doubt the Bruins could wrap it up in four, whether it be Rask or Halak in net. That would mean the Bruins are closing out the series this week. And if that also means they're closing it out this week, it also means they're waiting potentially 10 or 11 days before they start the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That means they could be off for a week and a half before they play another game, yeah. And that's a really long time to be off. And so I'm not concerned about rest and load management for anybody right now.
Well, me being mostly a football fan, and I learned about this load management
thing. But do you have Bruins fever?
I just felt I'm down a little bit from last night. I took two Advil. And the weather's so nasty. I rode in with my windows down, kind of got my fever down a little bit. And
the pollen, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, just think instead of like 11 days off as opposed to 14, I kind of roll with the hot goalie because last thing I wanted them to do is steal a game, come back here, steal another, and all of a sudden, no crap, it's 3-2. I just want to end this sucker tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And again, to what I said earlier in the show, Rask is feeling it across the board right now, not only on the ice, off the ice. His control, his understanding of the game, it seems like from a leadership standpoint, doing the interviews, knowing what's at stake here. And this would be like such a great ultimate ending for this guy. I think he, had a 972 save percentage last night. For him, the way the year started, and then to have juggling, you know, Halak, who, what's the guy's name? Caller's name?
I'm not sure.
I think it was Randy? Barry. I think it was Barry. He called you Hard.
Hard. Scott, I like Mark. That. I like that.
Yeah.
I like calling you Hard.
Beat.
Yeah.
Zoe.
Yeah.
No.
Nope,
Hard.
Beat.
Let's go to another one. On Rask. Anthony's in Medford. Anthony, go ahead.
Hi.
Yeah. Just like Zoe said, this would be great for Rask. Remember, he had to take that little time off to get his head together. And he's playing great. I mean, he's a position goal. He's letting everything hit him. I mean, because last night, you think about it, they didn't play that great. I mean, you knew Carolina was going to come out and strong, and they did, and it was all Rask. Because you think about it, we ain't getting much, even all series, from that top line and Krejci. I mean, going forward, it's the depth that's one of us, the third and fourth lines. I mean, because you think about it, if they have to
play. How many times you think about it?
Huh?
You just think about it a lot. Like, that's your go-to. Like, hey, if you really think about it, you know?
Yep. Here's what I've been thinking about. Anthony, chat, what's with the name changes?
No, I first called, and it was Anthony. Then the third time I called, I said, Chad, and they said, no, this is Anthony. So I just stuck with it. My name's Charles Anthony, but I've been called Chad since birth.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, if you people started to call you Chad.
Us as Chad, and then you typically call Felger and Maz as Anthony.
Right. It'd be like you saying, hey, it's Beetle, or hey, it's Mark. You know, go by different names.
Think about it.
Scott, Rob, Hardy, whatever.
I know, but I told them that it was Chad, and they said, no, this is Anthony, so I just stuck with a Felger Mass.
Okay.
But, like, going forward, they're going to have to get more out of them. You think Krejci, not Mario Lemieux, not Greg Gretzky, he's the only player to lead the NHL playoffs in scoring twice, Krejci. He usually steps up in the playoffs.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, Krejci's he's better when the lights are its brightest. Think about it.
Yes, he's had a great record in the postseason. Yep. He's had a great playoff record his entire career.
Wagner.
Aaron in Boston is very much against sitting Tuukka Rask, as I think you should be. Go ahead, Aaron.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good.
What's doing pretty good.
I can't believe we're even talking about this.
I know. Guys, it blows my mind.
You know what? You should probably sit Char and Bergeron tomorrow night, too.
Well, Char, you can make a case for right now.
That guy should stick the basketball. You know what I mean? Right. But no, I always said that Tuukka Rask is the Clay Buchholz of the Boston Bruins. Now, if you were to sit Tuukka, once he gets mentally struck, that guy is like all over the place. Like, he's hard to get back to being consistently. You know what I mean? You sit Tuukka, you're going to mess with his head. The guy's on fire right now. I don't care if they're up 3-0. You keep playing them. You keep the momentum going. He has the puck luck right now. He even said it. You know what I mean? You can't stop that puck luck by taking him out.
Yeah, you just don't mess with it. There's no touching it. There's no messing
with
it.
There's no need to. There's no need to.
You leave it alone.
If there were a legitimate need, okay, we could sit here and, like, consider it or talk about it. See, show signs of a guy who needs a rest. Can't go for some reason tomorrow night. There's nothing. Go close it out.
History of the show.
They're 19-1 in series when they're up 3-0, right?
Well, thanks. I didn't see it on NBC.
When we talk about everything here, this is one of these.
The one series they lost was with Tuukka.
Right.
Against Philly, right?
Philly. And they had a lead. They had a lead in game four too.
Just another reason not to get into his head at all.
Right.
Don't mess with things.
Call segment, worst banker calls we've had.
Well, come on now. I mean, that's a little harsh.
No, it's not the worst bank of calls, but the topic, it's been brought up by multiple people on multiple shows, which makes this sound silly, but it's borderline indiscussable.
We didn't bring it up.
I know we didn't bring it up because it's...
We were talking about Rask and how well he was playing, and callers started to bring it up when talking about Rask. We did not bring this topic up. The callers did. In discussing Rask. We just talked Rask. Came up on its own. We're not promoting that topic. Happened naturally through the course of conversation. Last night, Chris Sale was on the mound at Fenway Park. He struck out 17 guys. He looks great. His turnaround has been remarkable. Some believe that he should have stayed in the game and gone for a record of 20 strikeouts. Zoe's already laughing, as everyone else should be laughing too. We'll get to that and more of your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Another strike.
pitch number 107.
I mean, this should be a standing ovation right here.
Well, they're standing right now.
Bounce around.
Nice little punch out here as he heads back to the dugout.
He got him! Number 17 for Chris Sale.
Sale last night, Fenway Park, 17 strikeouts. 108 pitches for Sale last night, and he was rightfully taken out of the game by his manager, Alex Cora, with a lead, 3-2 lead, taken out of the game. That shouldn't be controversial, right?
No. Considering the way our boy Matt McCarthy on the McTakey Take a Deep podcast
we're gonna get all year.
It said, get this guy up and running, and you blew it in spring training, and he's just not right.
Seven innings, 108 pitches, and he struck out 17. He gave up two runs, both of them earned. He had a 3-2 lead at the time. He gave up a home run in that last inning to Nolan Arenado. And so at that point, you say, your night's over. And they turned it over to the bullpen, and they promptly blew the game, and they lost. They ended up losing the game last night. Red Sox ended up striking out 24 guys, which tells you how useless strikeouts have become in the sport and how overrated the strikeout statistic is. But let me remind you that Chris Sale, a month ago,
had no answers.
If you want to go back to where we were a month ago, had an ERA of 8.5. Okay? And didn't have answers, and would go out and didn't look good, and didn't have velocity. And we were wondering if he was injured, and we were wondering what his future was going to be. And we constantly questioned the team as to why would you have signed this guy to the kind of money you did without having seen him, you know, pitch a single pitch this year. Well, now they look great. Now they look like they were right, and we were all wrong, and we're the idiots, and yes, we know. So we also know the history of Chris Sale. We know the problems he's had staying healthy in terms of staying at his top condition over the long haul, full season.
Yeah.
We know that he's sort of faded at the end of years, at the end of seasons.
He has that funky delivery where, you know, it's basically all on his shoulder, and the way the arm comes out, puts a lot of stress on that shoulder.
And if you were like me back at the end of 2017, September 2017, you know that if you were like me then and said, John Farrell, there's nothing wrong with John Farrell leaving Chris Sale in the game to get his 300th strikeout in Baltimore, you would know that you were dead wrong like I was to support that decision that John Farrell made to just leave him in there. His family was at the game in Baltimore. Remember that? Yeah, that was stupid. It was. It was stupid, and I was stupid for supporting that and saying that Farrell was right and Sale was right.
Yeah, as was I. I did the same thing.
That was dumb.
Yeah, but you learned from your mistakes, what happened? Though,
he sucked in his last regular season start that year. He let up four bombs in that one, and then he got completely shelled in his first playoff start against Houston, and he didn't make another start. He came in relief trying to save things in that Red Sox quick exit from the postseason against Houston. That's what happened. That was the Red Sox. That was Chris Sale's end of year. He fell apart after that. He was no good. After staying in there too long, after already struggling to get to the finish line, after exerting himself, and now it's only May. It's May, and you want to leave a guy in there, McTakey, that is, Matt McCarthy.
Rude for records.
Who last night even admitted that it doesn't matter how reckless it is, he wanted him to stay in for the record. He wanted to see that record. He wanted to see Chris Sale stay in for a strikeout record, a regular season individual in-game strikeout record.
Dude, like when you're
useless
home.
Of a footnote would that be for a regular season game against the Colorado Rockies and the potential damage of what losing Chris Sale for what? For maybe a month?
You get the record.
If he got hurt, how long could you lose him?
Well, David Price can carry you right now.
Anyway. Oh, what if you lose him, at the end of the year? What if you lose him again for the month of October? Or for what are you, nuts? You've already got David Price dealing with an injury.
Yep.
You've already got Nathan Eovaldi dealing with an injury.
Yep.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, you've got two of your top three starters already dealing with it. Let's go 3 for 3. Let's put a third guy on the injured. Let's do it. No, I want to see history.
Careful. Matt McCarthy has now responded on Twitter.
Of course they all do.
Let's hear it, Lushitz
does it.
Let's hear it.
Big Joe Murray.
Let's hear it.
Quoting the tweet with the podcast of the second hour that said in the second hour, Chris Sale put on a show, Beetle had a problem with those who thought he should have been left in. Whoopee. McCarthy says, whoa. When did Zolak and Bertrand become the no fun in sports show?
Oh, you know what? We just won't draw any attention to the amount of Twitter followers.
I thought that was Felger Maz, hashtag set the record, hashtag be reckless.
Oh, so he's just doubling down on being reckless?
And setting
records.
Setting a record and being reckless.
So his rebuttal is, yes, be reckless.
It's fun.
It's fun.
What's going to be more fun on a podcast? Like when he's doing his podcast in August and Chris Sale's jamming because they protected him early in the year.
When did
he
stop
phenomenal
being,
start?
Wait, when
or
did he stop being
John
McTakey? When did he stop being McTakey? This is not very McTakey of him.
Well, he's really hashtagging a lot. He's trying to draw a lot of attention to the tweet. He mentioned us. He mentioned Felger and Mass.
No, I'm just saying.
Hashtag double down.
I learned my lesson on Chris Sale once already. I was wrong in 17. I'm not going to be wrong a second time.
Wrong.
Why be wrong a second time? Pat and Waltham on this very issue. What do you got, Pat?
Well, I mean, I thought I was going to reinvent the wheel by mentioning it, but you guys are already hitting the nail on the head right now, is that there's too much attention being paid to the little things for individuals on this team than there are for the greater good. We had a great year, obviously, last year. And no knock against Chris Sale, as if he didn't have a real significant impact on that. But with his condition and the rest of the condition of this pitching staff, we need to focus on quality wins and maintaining momentum and not worrying about a strikeout record against a team that we swept with our hand tied behind our back in the World Series years ago.
I mean, you gotta say, though, Pat, I don't think anyone with the team, I didn't really hear Sale questioning Alex Cora. He did the opposite after the game.
He
said all the right things.
Right. Respects nobody else in the world more than this guy. I'll never question.
Sure. And I don't question that either. I'm a little nervous going down the long term how many times this might happen again in the future when we need to hold on to a division race where right now the Orioles have our number.
Here's a good question here. Say he doesn't give up the two runs to get that thing to 3-2. Does he leave him in? I mean, say he doesn't give you the signs of, okay, does he really look at the pitch count?
Depends
or is
on the
he
pitcher.
Starting to look at the score tightening up?
It depends on how many pitches he
yeah,
has.
Yeah, okay.
At 108, he's done. I think he's done where he was
I'd
at.
Like to think that, but there are going to be people that say, we should let him finish.
Sale said last night, he said, I don't think there's any pitcher on the planet. You've got 17 punch-outs. You definitely want to go back out there for another inning. I'd love to have gone back out there, but I respect Alex Cora as much as anybody on the planet, and I'll never question anything he does, even in regard to that.
Good answer.
So,
and I think him being
ever,
that,
ever.
Well, unless
ever.
You have that Pedro moment,
I'll never question anything he does.
But I don't know the competitive nature of Chris Sale. I think based on the way he gave up those runs, it's probably going to piss him off more than Cora taking him out, make him a better pitcher.
Hey, someone
time.
Tell Dave you know Dombrowski I mean? That his bullpen is trash. Someone let him know. Send him
yeah.
a note.
I think you should be tweeting that stuff, and more so than, well, I should let him in for the record. How about you got problems in the back end? Yeah, I think you got a little more problem
send
in the back end.
Send a note upstairs to
whether
the
or not
you're
leaving Chris Sale in too long or taking him out too early.
Imagine if Chris and by if Cora the way, left him in the game and he was questioned about it for the record, and he turns around and said, have you seen the bullpen? It wasn't about the record.
Oh, that shouldn't factor into that decision either.
Good point,
the
Jim.
Bullpen being junk and Cora knowing it should not force him to try and keep Sale in the game.
Not on May 14th.
Exactly. That's my point. Right now, sorry, if the bullpen's junk, it's junk, and they'll lose us the game, but we can't try and keep Chris Sale in past 7 innings and past 108 pitches because our bullpen sucks. We can't get Chris Sale hurt or let him break down because the bullpen sucks. That's not how this works. I saw some of that being said last night, too. That's hindsight. That's garbage. They could have hung on for a 3-2 win if they had anybody who was capable of hanging on in the late innings. But clearly they don't. They don't have that because they were ill-prepared going into the year, which we all knew. One more segment of your calls. Today's takeaways are coming up at 150. Here's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Pastrnak across, Kruger, hammer chance, they score! And McElhaney was interfered with, no goal. No chance for McElhaney to get set. Waved off immediately.
McElhaney was well outside the paint, but he was set. And when you're set, it doesn't matter whether you're in the blue paint or not. That's no goal. He is prevented from doing his job.
Boston is challenging the call on the ice to determine that there was no goaltender interference.
In this particular case, the blue paint is inconsequential. The entanglement began within the paint. I don't see any way on God's green earth that this is a goal. I think it is right not to call goalie interference, the penalty, but this is no goal.
Here's Steve Kozarin.
After review, call on the ice is confirmed. There's no goal. Boston loses their timeout.
That's the right call. There's no question. Of course, we know what side of the fence we're on, but we try to be objective, and that is clear cut.
Okay, so that play last night was the disallowed goal. It's still a judgment call because, as it says in the NHL rules, if an attacking player has been pushed, shoved, or fouled by a defending player so as to cause him to come in contact with the goalkeeper, such contact will not be deemed to be contact initiated by the attacking player for purposes of this rule, provided the attacking player has made a reasonable effort to avoid such contact.
Okay.
They have to make the judgment. Did the player make a reasonable effort to avoid the contact, to avoid hitting the goalie? These are where the judgments come in, and I'm sick and tired of this rule. These rules, that's the obvious right call. Is it? I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
Oh, come on. That aerial view.
These aren't obvious anymore. Sorry, just stop telling me that these goaltender interference plays are obvious. None of them are obvious to me.
This is an obvious goal call here to me because the goalie comes out from under the net and he's going up to the top of that circle where DeBrusk is doing everything he can up on one skate to get out of it, and he gets sandwiched between the guy that's pushing on him and Dr. McStuffins, who came out of net.
Right. It looks like he was initiating the contact.
If Dr. McStuffins is sitting there stationary or going back into the net to defend a puck, and DeBrusk clips him in that painted circle in the blue, that is goalie interference.
Hey, can I cut you off? I got a piece of Patriots news for you.
Oh.
I don't think it's worthy of breaking news.
Oh, that's kind of what I was waiting for.
Yeah, because it's not official, so it's not breaking news as of yet.
Ish.
Breaking news-ish.
In talks.
You want to read it?
It's from Ian Rappaport. New England is in talks with free agent linebacker Jamie Collins. That would bring the former second-round pick back to the team that made him a star. They traded him in 2016. Likely bring him back in 2019.
I guess he's calling it defense this year.
You were not a fan of this proposal.
Yeah, every time this has come up, Zoe's always said, that ship has sailed.
He doesn't listen.
That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed.
He doesn't listen.
What?
Does Mayo being on the staff change that?
Ooh,
good.
Mayo's
point for Louth.
Mayo's specific job role is inside linebackers, not linebackers, inside.
Oh, really?
Linebackers, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Mayo's inside.
Did they announce that?
Is announced.
Yep. He's still going to be there, though, in the locker room.
Yeah. Yep.
Is Jamie Collins at a point in his career where he's got no choice but to listen?
Yeah.
Is that part of it, too?
How many takers is there? I mean, he's out there.
Right.
It's not like people are lining up. It's May 15th.
No one's lining up to get him. Right. Now, you know, there's obviously this is the time of year when more guys are coming off that free agency list and guys are, you know, starting to get scooped up ahead of training camp, of free agents.
Never would I think you'd have Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones. You'd ship them both away, and Jamie Collins is the one who would eventually full circle make his way back here. You know, maybe like a Chandler Jones. I don't know. Because he likes Foxborough Police.
He said the occasional prayer in the back parking lot.
Help me. Help me help you. Help you.
He has kneeled at the altar of the Foxborough Police.
Isn't it rolling at 6 a.m.? We got a live one out here.
Not quite. We got a situation.
Where are your shoes, Agathor Spartacus?
I'm checking the book. There's nothing in the book about a shirtless. I mean, he's very fit. This is not a homeless person. This man is well-to-do and appears to be in great shape. But he's
praying, though, in the parking lot.
He's kneeling. He's out there talking about dinosaurs.
Are you not entertained?
And
do you want to finish your donut before we go outside and talk to this guy or not? He looks a little familiar. We got a problem here.
When did this happen? Saturday night? Right. No, Sunday morning.
So, again, this tweet from Ian Rappaport a moment ago. He wrote, while the Jets are subtracting today, the Patriots are adding. New England is in talks with free agent linebacker Jamie Collins that would bring the former second-round pick back to the team that made him a star. They traded him in 2016, likely bring him back in 2019.
I mean, this guy, based on his athletic talent, is a hell of a depth piece based to an already pretty deep defense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want
third down, you put him and Winovich on the field and say, go get the quarterback?
Oh, with Hightower on the edge? Freeze Hightower up on the edge. Jesus. Bennett?
Bentley's coming back?
Hey, Bennett, Hightower, Collins. Winovich. Oh, Lawrence Guy.
Tells me they don't have very big plans for Derek Rivers.
Oh, yeah, Wise, too, on the other side. Jesus.
Is he okay with this now?
I mean, I take it as it's one. He's not coming here to start. He's a hell of a depth piece. You know what I mean?
It feels like they're, at this point, you know, you're taking more of a flyer.
And if it does come to agreement, right, and you bring him in, like Bill's telling him. You're going to do it my way or you're gone.
That's what it is.
You know,
if you don't listen this time, you're going to get cut.
This ain't going to be like Buffalo where Matt's calling a defense and you're going to run up the middle and they go all the way around the edge and they have pop off a 35-yard run. Bill's so specific on it. Listen to what I'm telling you. Stay in your lane, you know. See, that's it. Bill coach usually helps coach that defensive line on the sidelines. He lets everything else take care of itself. Now he's going to oversee it all.
How fun will that be in training camp? I traded your ass once. I'm not afraid to get rid of you. Yeah. I'll do it again.
Hey, Brady, look who I got back.
I will put you out on the street.
Yeah.
Listen up or leave. Those are your options.
Maybe we'll get him for the Wednesday interviews.
So there you have it. That's the late piece of Patriots news.
Today's, I would say that's not worth breaking. Yeah.
Well, it hasn't even happened
it's
yet.
Good news.
It's just that they're in talks, and it's likely signing him.
You know what that means?
Likely. Yeah. We will get to today's takeaways. Those are
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.com.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, Home Slice, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, offering free support for life. Make this last time that weight loss will ever be an issue for you. Online right now, awaken180weightloss.com.
What's this sound like, Arnie?
A raptor.
I thought it sounded...
Oh!
Well, I thought it sounded like something from no, from Predator. It was slower. You were doing it in a very kind of.
Hold on, we'll do it slower.
For some reason, it reminded me of Predator. Jim pulled a portion of the movie. It's kind of there. It's kind of not. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. It reminded me.
Swing and a miss.
You know I can't tell you
swing
why.
Swing and a miss.
You know what it does kind of sound like? But what? Peter Cetera saying
oh,
that.
Oh, the drum and karate kid.
I will defend your honor when they're on that island out there. And he's going to kill him.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. Karate Kid Part 2. I don't think that would work, that whole, like, swing and punch thing. Don't you know it's coming after the first... Like the first two?
If you do it quick enough.
He punches him like 9 times doing that back and forth. It's like, dude, he's just going to turn around and hit you with that hand behind his head. This duck.
Didn't he have the best costume ever when he went to that Halloween party? That costume party? And he had
the shower?
The shower.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's, I don't know.
What the hell is that?
What is that?
I don't know. Jim's weird sound effects. It's probably bacon on a griddle.
What do you call those drums?
It's not the screech owl.
What do you call those drums
today?
Yeah.
Tom.
Okay. All right. Today we had quite the moment during headlines with Hardy dropping a movie line in that was not pre-screened prior to using it in the headlines.
Revisit this?
Oh, I think we absolutely do. You know, the thing that I find funny about this is you've been using this drop for years. Anytime the New Orleans Pelicans... you know, are brought up in headlines.
Jim,
Celtics play the Pelicans, you use the drop from Scarface.
Am I turned on here, Jim?
Yeah.
This is all I wanted to play.
Manny, look at this. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
And you've used that a million times before.
Right. And apparently I had it saved like the full, like, downloaded
clip.
A longer clip. Like a 30-second version. Like the 20 seconds before leading up to when he says that.
Right. And so it went like this.
NBA draft lottery happened last night. New Orleans got the number one overall pick.
Stop saying
Oh, excuse me.
What was that?
You have to drop that.
What the hell was that?
I had the Scarface drop ready to go.
Sarah, to my little friend.
No.
It's all... Agora, take Tony Quellos.
Apparently, it needs to be edited before I play it.
Sarah, to the little bad guy. Let me take a picture.
The people listening on the stream right now just got a great gift. What a gift.
Do it again.
The stream is the gift that keeps on giving.
I love our stream. God bless the stream.
Anyway, the Pelicans are now the number one.
I never listened to the headlines.
Rick Flair would say, woo!
Our proud sponsor of this particular...
Yeah. I never listened, but man, I heard that loud and clear.
That's it. Your
stop
headlines
saying.
Are polluted.
Tom, can you send it?
You got polluted.
Come on, man. Got the number one overall pick.
Stop saying
It was so
Michelle
clear.
Pfeiffer for the win.
Avenatti.
Holy crap. Wow.
Was she yelling at Frank or was it Tony? It was Tony. Tony, stop saying...
She was talking to Tony.
She was talking to Tony because Tony was in there talking to Manny.
Yeah.
Oh,
my.
She didn't appreciate the language. She was
a classy gal.
She was a classy gal.
He said, what did you get a job?
Her maiden name was Hancock. It sounded like some kind of bird flying around Hancock.
But you do something, like get a job.
Where are you from, Baltimore? Where's that?
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't matter, okay? flash with the yayo.
I like how you memorized the dance move to it. The fact that you have that down is so impressive. Oh, man. Also today, we got a call where a caller wanted to go around the horn and take on each of us with a different take.
Oh, this was good.
Chris in Hartford.
Pelican.
Chris.
Hey, morning, fellas. Hey, I'm going to go around the horn. Hardy, last night, I don't know what game you were watching, but Bradley pinched hit. He had like... he fouled off like four balls, got a walk. He said he didn't do anything. He actually started the inning in the eighth inning.
No, I just I thought it was interesting that they would bring him in to pinch
it.
Okay, all right. Now you just keep talking. Go through. Go around the horn.
Here we go.
It's going to be really good. I can tell.
Go boom.
So we got Mays. We got Mays, Griffey, and Bradley actually has a better arm than both of those guys. And you gotta kind of know that what we're watching with Bradley defensively is
You're going around the horn.
Now beat him.
You're going to put his name with those two?
No, you got a better arm than Willie Mays?
He's getting better than Willie Mays.
Go to Beetle. Go to Beetle. Go.
Go.
Get up, Beetle. Go.
Beetle, apologize.
For what?
Sandy Leone matters. Big time. Eckersley said it. Sale said it. Porcello.
Yes.
What more do you need?
But he shouldn't.
I didn't even notice the around the horn sound effect at first. Oh, that's great.
I thought you just left your computer on or something.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Willie Mays, Griffey Jr.,
Jackie Bradley
and the immortal
Jr.
Jackie Bradley
plays
Jr.
plays a better center field than Griffey or Willie Mays.
I love Maz the other day with Reddick.
And just
actually
just,
better.
We're reaching new heights with this guy.
Just when you weren't sure.
A better player.
Well, he actually didn't say plays a better center field, so he has better arm than those guys.
And if you're unsure it was going to be a cliche bad call, he finished it off with, apologize. Apologize for what you said about sports.
For Sandy Leone. No.
I thought he was talking like Derek Mays, the
Sandy
old receiver.
Leone has made a difference. The point being, shouldn't make that big of a difference.
Right.
This is absurd that he makes this big of a difference. It's absurd that it matters that much to Chris Sale. Wow.
Clean it up, Hardy.
Felger and Maz are coming up next. They got a big guest at 2:30, Wick Grosbeck.
Yes.
We'll join Felger and Maz right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston. Stay tuned for that. We're back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. So, Hardy.
See ya.
T-Bone, Jim, we'll see you then.
Out.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies, and that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in. Felger Maserati. We're going to start with the NBA and the NBA draft lottery and the Boston Celtics. So sit tight, Bruins fans. You know we got you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.